Good morning, church family. I was going to ad lib this morning. I just had a couple of things to say, and the Spirit woke me up at 4:30 this morning and said, no, you need to get your thoughts together because there's some important things I want to say. So excuse my glasses. Okay. When the pastors are finishing a sermon series, I always am intrigued to hear what God is planning for the next series. When they let me know what the title is and the focus of the preaching and the teaching is, I pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help me brand the series with a graphic, a photo, a design that somehow captures the feel of the series. I feel that this picture captures the essence of the series. The words "facing our fears" are barely visible in the murky darkness, and Christ the light is illuminating what is hidden, both by lack of knowledge or acknowledgement or purposeful cover-up. Ron started off the series by reminding us that we perceive the emotion called fear as a dread, something to be survived and avoided, that it prompts survivalist behavior, which I thought was a great thing to remember. Fear can be distorted and abused, and if I am honest, it does and it has. Fear is a good thing, as he stated, and as a friend once said, fear is a good thing. It keeps you from stepping out into the street. As we went into this series, for me, the question was, am I willing to have the light of Christ shine on my fears and expose those fears? I don't know if you have acknowledged your fears through this series, as God lovingly wants to pry our fingers off the lid that we're holding down, the door that we're holding shut. Or maybe I'm the only one. I hope not, for all of our family's sake. We're all very capable people. And I, maybe not you, can be very determined to keep the lid on, keep the mask of, thank you, everything's just fine, and keep control. By skill set, I'm a project manager. This means that I'm well-versed in taking apart a problem, assessing the phases to a successful end, and assigning the task to be done, and then finding the manpower to accomplish the goal. But this time, the lid flew off, because God's love was determined to pull my feet from the miry clay and set my feet on higher ground. Again, the question is, am I a willing participant for him to do that? And secondly, am I willing for you to see it? Since he is my God and you are my family, the answers are yes, and so I'm standing here today. Fear had distorted my core being, and this is what happened in my life in parallel to this series. In late November of last year, a family member made a decision which, in summary, touched a nerve of fear that threatened my sense of security. My real house and home, saturated with my life, joys, and gifts, and Christ's blessing, would be gone. Because I am a product of a family of rampant divorce, with numerous parental separations, having lived in 2 countries, 5 states, and numerous towns within those states before the age of 18, having now had and now losing an established home for the first time in my life was very difficult. This decision, which was actually a broken promise, was not just a business decision to me as it was to my family member. It was the breakdown of what had become a sense of security, although a false sense of security, as my Heavenly Father wanted to kindly expose. Nonetheless, my sense of security has been rocked day after day for 3 months, as God wanted me to release myself fully to his care, to change the trajectory of my life from a fear-based emotion to the reality of who he is and how invested he is in me and the plan he has for me. So I flew into project management mode and went to work, but the lid was coming off, and I was unable to contain my fear of the unknown and the fear of uncontrollable circumstances. How convenient of God to bring painful introspection and start healing simultaneously, and all I had to do was come to church and hear about fears of unmet expectations, fear of the unknown, and fear of uncontrolled circumstances. something to really look forward to each week. Not. Some of us are just deal with it people and are uncomfortable with my sharing the wounded part of me. And for those, I'm sorry, but the Jesus I've come to know through my faith walk doesn't throw a Jesus blanket over the issues and past problems. He so wants us to live abundant lives and not diminished lives, as Ron stated in his series introduction. Jesus is in the business of changing lives by his Spirit through captured thoughts and applied armor by focusing our attention on him. Once the Holy Spirit and I change the trajectory, the initial core place from which my life emanates, the changes and changes the sometimes unconscious filters through which I regard life, my relationships change. And as I'm willing to be vulnerable and bear my wounds to another, and I'm willing to let you bear my burdens too, the unity of the Holy Spirit is expressed even more sweetly than before. I have turned the corner or the long curve of this test, and I'm eager, otherwise known as cautiously optimistic, to see what God is going to do, because I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. It's not all gone. Let's face it, when fear has been a filter of life for over 50 years, it takes time to untangle the effects. Much good has already come, and I praise God for the continued work of sanctification he is doing in me. Emotions have no intellect. There is no reasoning with them. My responsibility is to cling to Christ, the author and finisher of my faith, for he is the lifter of my head. He is the healer, and his perfect love casts out fear. Brothers and sisters in Christ have gathered around me. A sister in Christ who always has been a good friend has stuck like glue to me, pressing into my life, bringing immeasurable help and encouragement. People are praying for me. Sisters hug me and pray over me. They drop in the office and bring me index cards with a word from God or a verse that encourages me. It's amazing. This family of God who is willing to be led by the Spirit. So for you who have been brave enough to face sometimes desperate fears during this series, I'm with you in the boat as we step out into the water, keeping our eyes on Jesus as he beckons us to come to him. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much. I appreciate that, Patricia. Somebody else.
Fear is a very difficult thing. And when we live in fear, we can become divided, and we can start separating ourselves from others around us, and we can start seeing other people as enemies to us, as enemies in our midst. And this has been on my mind a lot lately. And particularly, I've been thinking about a passage from Luke that, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Because even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. And then your reward will be great, and you will be the children of the Most High, because he is kind, and he is ungrateful, and he is grateful. He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. So be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And I don't want us to be afraid, and I don't want us to feel like we're living amongst enemies. I want us to be kind, and I want us to not expect repayment from those to whom we are kind. Thank you.
When Ron and I get ready to talk about what we're going to talk about in these series, sometimes it takes weeks to get an idea down. I think as soon as he shared this idea with me, I said, we didn't really talk about it much. I didn't push back on it at all. I said, this is our congregation this is something that they will really need. It'll be a blessing to them. What I didn't realize was that each week we'd come up to a topic. It was what God had in mind for me that week and that I absolutely needed. So thank you, Ron, for the idea that the Holy Spirit gave you that came through you. But also I just, you know, appreciate all of you that you support me and Ron to be able to spend time in the Word each week to see what it has to say, because it blesses us before it blesses you.
I was praying about the fear and faith thing, and this verse came to me, you know, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I felt that God really wanted me to know that he's right there all the time. We often think that we have to kind of work our way up to him and kind of go into some private room and fast for a week or whatever before we can even get a hearing with the Lord. But he's right here, and he's right there, just like he's 5 feet away. And just as easily as you can speak to your family member, you can say, Lord, please guide me in this, and listen, and he will. And he wants to. He loves us more than we can ask or imagine. I don't know if you heard that story about that boy, Berko, who went to heaven and then came back, had near-death experience, whatever. They made a movie about it. And he said, when they said, well, what's the one thing you can tell us? And he said, God loves you more than you can imagine. His love is overwhelming, and he just wants you to know he loves you. And if you imagine that you're sitting next to somebody who's in control of the universe and loves us more than we can ask or imagine, isn't he willing to hear? You know, doesn't he want us to ask? How many opportunities of not praying do we miss? You know, how many opportunities of not calling upon the Lord and not listening to his voice when he wants to be in our lives from minute to minute, from day to day? When we have those fears, we can turn to him. He's right there. And I think that's something that he wants us to start, you know, growing in, is to have that living, dynamic relationship with him, and to keep a short list of wrong, you know, to repent, keep that way clear. And he wants to speak into our lives all the time. And so that's, I think, a really big thing when you know that the Lord is powerful and he can change anything. We don't really need to be afraid of anything. He wants to help us. And he's going to put us in situations to test us occasionally, but doesn't want us to act out of fear, that's for sure.
Bruce had his hand up.
Since I'm in the back row, maybe I'll stand. Comforting words. Phil's got a great way of presenting things. No idols. That was a vision that I got a year and a half ago, a little bit after I'd had a heart attack, small one, which I fortunately recovered from. Praise God. But in the vision, the Lord pointed out to me, no idols. And it was interesting how he did it, because the five people who, in a sense, had become idols stood at my bedside during this vision. And the first was my wife of 52 years. The second was my daughter. The third was a very impressive young man who I've gotten to know just in a couple of years. The fourth was my son, and the fifth was a young person that I'd mentored. And as I was laying in my hospital bed, awaiting a catheter procedure the next day, these people appeared in my vision, dream, whatever. But then I looked ahead, and I saw a man walking away from me, dressed in ordinary clothes. And I was convinced, above the shadow of a doubt, that that man was Jesus. And I said in my in-between state, if you will, all I know is I want to be with that man. All I know. And it was so strong. And the others sort of faded. And so it came down, it was all Jesus. And I thought about it afterwards, and what was the message to me? Several other people have suggested some things. But the message was, to me, no idols. who's taking precedence over my thoughts and my life? The vision was it should be Jesus. That's who it's going to be. And certainly if he was here, he would be. My wife of 52 years, I wouldn't like to say she's an idol, but I don't know how I could live without her. And so forth, right? And so I've had a real life situation to deal with. My son, with whom I've been this close for 42 years, he and I have had a big difference. And it's resulted in his not talking with me now for almost 3 years. I mean, just hello, that kind of thing. And it's caused huge pain, night by night, day by day. But the comfort that I've gotten, you know, in the middle of the night with tears, is turning to the Lord. And that's given me the peace. That's turned me around. So in a sense, he was an idol because I was thinking more about him. But when I turned to the Lord, he gave me peace.
Many of you know the accident that I had a while ago. And it had left me without my independence, which it was very important to me. And I am sure you all know how important it is to be able to do everything on your own. I did that for many years, not that I'm that old, but before I was 18, I came to this country and I did it on my own. I bought a house, I did everything. I thought I had it all. I had my son that loved the Lord with all of his heart. And though I lost my husband through cancer, I lost my home. I lost my dream job, which was teaching next door. I lost my son in a way because he has walked away from God. And through all this, one day, I think it was the second Sunday, when I went back home and I stayed with the Skinners, and I said something about, I'm afraid that I might not be able to be on my own again. I said, oops, I was not listening to the sermon. And they laughed at me, and I said, I didn't mean I'm afraid because I can trust in the Lord. Because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. But I used to call it, I got lost because I have blackouts because of my accident. And I didn't have one for a while. And I thought I can make it on my own again. Maybe I could try. Because I'm afraid that maybe I won't be able to try. And I won't be able to survive by myself. And I just had one of those moments that I blank out. And I was sharing that with the Skinners. I said, I can't believe I had another blackout. I didn't have it for a long time. And all these things have just been coming up lately. I want to be on my own. I want to see if I can survive on my own. And then I heard about Patricia. And I've been praying because I got a funny feeling we are a lot alike. We want to be able to survive and have our independence, but God is there. And one night I just said, no, God knows what I am at. And I just said, God, here I am. And I just closed my eyes as a child will close his eyes and just jump into the pool as the father or mother are waiting for them with open arms. And I said, I'm not going to have that inside me. When time comes, if the Lord says, go on your own, so be it. But I cannot be doing that with myself anymore, especially through all these messages and sermons. Because I feel that if I try to do it on my own, and God is trying to keep me from hurting myself or being hurt by something, then what am I doing? Trying to say, I am the one that is going to dictate your life, and that's it. Why you go to church, and why do you hear these messages just now on this special time? And the fact that my son has walked away from the Lord, I feel in my heart he will come back, because the Lord has promised that, and I have read the Bible over and over. And I seen in black and white in that book that his promises are there, and they will be there. So I'm holding on to those promises. But I do thank you for these sermons, because it's a wake-up call. I won't say slap on the face, but it's a wake-up call. And it really helps to get over these fears. Because we say, no, I'm not afraid, I trust in God. But we do. We are in a way afraid. But it's good to hear it and to know and remind us through these sermons the promises of God. And I really thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you, Reverend. Ralph, can we have the four statements up on the board again? Let's stand together at this point. Let's recite to these, because these are scriptural assurances that we can face fears with faith. Together, God loves us unconditionally. God is always in complete control. God can redeem everything for good, and God will never leave you. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Let's pray. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, that we can live abundant lives, that you've made that possible, that you've conquered all fears, even the ones that we encounter every day. Thank you that you've given your Spirit to help us, your Word to help us, trust you and lean upon you when we face fears. Oh Lord, we pray that through your Word, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we are able to engage all the fears that we face and not have diminished lives, but have abundant lives in Christ Jesus, who himself conquered the greatest of all fears, the fear of Satan, of sin, and death. Hallelujah. Amen.